And church, I just want you to know we are very, very excited and pumped. If you didn't get a chance last week to be introduced to Pastor Adam Opper, he is now on board with us as the new student ministries pastor. And let me tell you something. If you're 18 to 35, wave at me. If you're awake, wave at me, 18 to 35. There you go. All right. All kinds of hands are happening. Every Sunday night, the 18 to 35-year-olds meet exit 187. You do not want to miss this on Tuesday nights as well. I think we have a slide for that, at least I hope, with directions. But we're excited because we're going to see, there it is, we're going to see an influx of young adults who are also under his leadership going to minister to our youth. And we're going to see the 13 to 18-year-olds go to a completely different level in Jesus. And I'm telling you, we are going to see a Holy Ghost breakout revival. You better get ready. I'm telling you right now. Now, Father, right now, we thank you for the word. We thank you for, Father, what you're doing in our midst in this place. We sense there's a healing virtue being released. We thank you, Lord, for the miracles and testimonies that are taking place. And Father, we are joining the throngs of your people around the world today who have set aside this day to say, praise the Lord. Yeah. Father, from way under in Australia and around Europe and through, oh God, Central America and Africa, Father, and here in the country of the United States, we offer up our praise to you today and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I think we ought to give Jesus a big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Woo. Amen. Hey, if you got a Bible, turn it to Matthew chapter 27. If you have a smartphone, maybe not a too smart of a phone, maybe an average phone, maybe you have an iPad, whatever it is, but go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 through 27, if you can put it up on the screen. I want you to see this in the Amplified Version. This is off the hook. Are you ready? So everyone who hears these words of mine, acts upon them, obeying them. They're going to be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man. How many think we need some of that in America? How many think you need some of that in your family?
Yes.
You know, sometimes I think, Lord, when my kids are growing up, I think, now that was not prudent, practical, wise, sensible. Where'd you get that thought? Look, he said, everyone who hears these words of mine, acts on them, obeys them, is going to be sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who builds his house on a what? On a rock. Look at the next verse. Verse 25. And the rain fell, and the wind, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. Look at the next verse. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man. I didn't do that. That's in the Bible. I didn't say. He said the S word. Man who built his house upon the sand. And verse 27. And the rain fell and the floods came. And what happened? The winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. That's important to note. Great and complete was the fall of it. Nothing left, nothing standing, great and complete. Now notice, if we had time to really indulge into this, we'd find out that the houses were constructed in a similar way. It wasn't the house construction that was the difference. It was where the house was planted or where it was built. The foundation made all the difference. Look at somebody and say, your foundation is more important than you'll ever know. Now, I know sometimes you have difficulty doing that in church and you think that's corny, but that's okay because I'm kind of corny. But I want you to know that when Jesus died, he left a will on this earth. How many knew that Jesus left a will? Well, here it is. Matthew Henry kind of first penned this and I'm repeating it. You know what he did? He gave his soul to his Father. And he gave his body to Joseph of Arimathea. He gave his clothes to the soldiers who had gathered around his cross. He gave his mother to John. But to his disciples who left all to follow him and obey his word, he left not silver or gold. but something far better. His peace. And Jesus said, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you." Ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea this morning how great God's peace is? When you're in the middle of a storm and you don't know which way is up, out, you don't know whether you'll live for another day, you don't know if you'll have another opportunity to catch your breath, you're in the middle of uncertainty and darkness. Let me tell you, for God's people, when you have God's peace, hallelujah, you know everything is going to be all right. And that reminds me of a story in the book of Mark, chapter 4 and verse 35. Because in the beginning of that text, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." Man, I like that admonition, because when Jesus says, "Go to the other side," guess what that means? You're going to the other side. But how many know that the enemy wants to control, prohibit, hinder us from the progress we're making in what God is saying? That's where the battle really lies. We know what God wants for our life. We know what He said we ought to be doing. But as we move toward it, we find opposition. The Bible said halfway across, a great storm arose. And the scripture goes on to tell us that Jesus spoke to the storm. And He said to the storm, "Peace." Then He said to the storm, "Be still." And immediately the winds and the waves obeyed Him. I want to make an announcement to you. If you're going through a horrific storm in your life, there's peace about to come and stillness is about to ensue. How do I know that? Because God is the God of the storm. And He has assured us that those of us who have built our house on the rock, even though the wind will blow and the rain will fall and the flood waters will rise, what did He tell us in Matthew chapter 7? He said that we're going to remain standing after the storm. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get happy right there. I'm just going to say thank you, Jesus, because I'm going to keep standing after the storm. Look, there's life after the storm. God has great plans for you and for me. This storm was only a momentary interruption. It was only an opportunity to reaffirm and to cement in our heart our faith in God. Because if I'm with God and God is with me, come on now, who can be against me? I know that greater, come on, say it with me, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Paul, the great apostle, set out, even though he knew they shouldn't have left. He tried to persuade the captain and the owner of the ship, "No, let's put in for the winter." Nonetheless, they were persuaded and off they went. You know what that tells me? Sometimes better judgment doesn't serve us. Sometimes even though we get counsel from others, or we think that maybe we shouldn't be doing this and we go ahead and do it anyway. Have you ever done that? Don't admit it. Sit there and act spiritual. It's okay. I understand, because I don't want to admit it either. All right, I will. I'll admit it. But I've done things against my better judgment. In other words, I've judged and I went ahead and did it, but I had better judgment. And the better judgment said, don't do it. But my judgment overrode the better judgment and I went ahead and did it. And all of a sudden, I find myself in the middle of a storm. Then I want to cry out to Jesus and say, "God, where are you?" Now, I never heard Him say, "Hey, Lou, you should have used your better judgment." He doesn't say, "Woulda, shoulda, coulda." All He does is speak to the storm. Paul, the great apostle, found himself in the storm of his life. But en route to the storm in Acts 28 and verse 1, the Bible says that he actually got a word from God. He got a word from God that said, "You're going to go to Rome. You're going to appear there in Rome." And he also got a vision from God that everything is going to be all right. It says that when they had escaped the storm, finally now getting out of its grip, they landed on an island called Malta. Can you say that name, please? Malta. It's an interesting name, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But they escaped the storm. Let me give you a help with that definition of the word escaped. It means to break free from confinement and control. Let me prophesy to somebody here this morning. You're about to escape from a storm. This storm has been created in your life to confine you and to control you. But I'm saying here today that just like Paul, you and I are going to break its confinement, loose its control, and we have a great future planned ahead of us. Now, you cannot get negative. You can't get down in the dumps. You can't begin to talk, you know, grumbling and complaining. How many know your mouth was not made for what? Grumbling and complaining, but for what? Ruling and reigning. So in those moments of the storm, you can't begin to go woulda, shoulda, coulda. You got to call on Jesus who's in the boat and say, Father, don't you care that I perish? And Jesus came up and he spoke to the storm. And he also spoke to those that were in the boat and said, O ye of little faith. So I'm thinking, God, if I'm in the middle of this storm, I know how this story ends. I know Paul made it. I know the disciples made it. I know that you rebuked them for their little faith. So right now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I'm going to begin pumping myself in the word of God and knowing that all things work together for good. For those that what? Come on with me. Love God and are what? Called according to His purpose. So now we see breaking free from confinement and control. Storms do this very thing. Storms like to control you. Storms like to confine your thinking. In other words, when you're in the middle of a threatening situation, all your mind can do is begin to imagine how things are not going to work out. Have you ever noticed that? You haven't even got to the end of the thing. And you're already ready to quit, ready to give up. You already know that it's not going to work. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. But don't be too concerned. All of us are like that. It's called human nature. We all tend to look at the worst rather than the best. But here today, the reason why I'm ministering this is because there's life after the storm. And the life after the storm is powerful. Because we're going into a storm, but we are going into this storm knowing we have acted on the Word of God. Lord, I have given my heart to You. Lord, I've been obedient to Your Word. Father, I have made Your kingdom first. Father, I've acted. In other words, I know that I've not only heard the Word, but I have acted on the Word. And if I've acted on the Word, this storm is going to be different for me than those who have not acted on the storm. I acted on the word. That storm is going to be devastating. This storm, I'm going to get wet. I'm going to get wind blown. I'm going to get nervous. I might even become fearful. But how many know when it's all over, I'm still going to be standing? I want to go to church with people that are still standing. I was out there greeting families this morning and I was saying, hey, this is a church. Whatever you need, church, come on in. Brother Jim Johnson, Elder Jim, where are you sitting, Jim? Look at, he doesn't have his hat. Would you have your hat with you? Where's your hat? It's in the back. It said Jesus Saves on it. He came walking in with a Jesus Saves hat on and I said, oh, Jesus Saves, Heals and Delivers. Welcome to Jesus Saves, Heals and Delivers Church. Welcome to whatever you need, church. Welcome to the smiling church. We're, you know, with God, all things are possible, right? Come on. With God, all things are possible. So we see something pretty interesting after the storm. Let me give them to you. There's only three little items. I've got 25 minutes. That's more than enough time to get through one of them. I'll try to get through all three, though. Let me just share with you how important it is. The Bible doesn't mention anything without intent. If you go back to Acts chapter 28 and verse 1, you'll notice they escaped the storm, but the Bible specifically says where they went as they escaped. Watch. When they had escaped confinement and control of what the enemy had tried to do to prevent them from making progress, to being obedient to what God said. You following me so far? When they had escaped that confinement and that control, they found out that the island that they landed on was called
Malta.
And Malta means in its definition, the city of refuge or the place of refuge. So God specifically said, listen, when you come through the storm, I just want you to know, you can't see it because it's only a dot. It's like the head of a pin, but I've got it out there in the South Pacific. You may think you're windblown and tossed and you are about to be drowned, but let me tell you something. I've got an island called Malta. I've got a place called refuge for you, and I'm going to see to it that the wind gets you there. So let me just tell you today, in the midst of a storm, God has a place of refuge for you. I think if it were me, I know it's me. So I'm just going to thank Him all by myself. Maybe I'll have a few people to help me. But I think if you're in the middle of the storm, you ought to thank God for your Malta and that you're on your way to a place of refuge. Come on, church. Hallelujah. I'm ready and I'm willing and I'm able and I know that's where I'm going. Malta. God has a Malta in your future. You know what Malta was? It was an uncommon place. You know, I'm finding myself today in very uncommon places. I'm in an uncommon place. I'm not going to list all of them for you just to maybe bore you with the details of my life, but let me tell you something. I'm walking and charting areas of my life that I've never been before. I'm finding situations, people, places, things around me shifting. It's uncommon. It's in every dimension of my life. I'm thinking, Lord, this is an uncommon place. And He said, because it's of my doing. You see, Malta was an uncommon place. It was not known to Paul. It was not known to the captain. It was not known to those that were saved because they stayed with the ship. But it tells us it was a place they've never been. Let me speak this to your little heart. You and I, in the midst of the storm, are going to a place that's uncommon, and number two, a place where you've never been. So quit crying and asking God to take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. I don't know if you know that song or not, but Andre, whatever his name was, Crouch. Yeah, you're not going back. Look at somebody and say, no turning back. Tell them it's not going to be like it used to be. Get over it. You are going to an uncommon place, and you are going to a place where you've never been before. Isn't that exciting with Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, man, what the devil thought he was going to do to prevent you from officially fulfilling God's word, God's going to use the very thing to get you to a place you've never been before and to bless you and to get you to an uncommon place. There's nothing ordinary about you. There's nothing common about you. You and I are supernatural people. We are extraordinary people, and we are about to experience a part of the kingdom of God that I believe history has never yet experienced. You'd better get ready, church. This is going to be the time of your life. You are in for a Holy Ghost roller coaster ride. I don't believe it's by chance that Cedar Point has just been ruled the number one roller coaster capital of the world. It even beat out Disney World. We sure did. Cedar Point, right up the road. I believe God's speaking prophetically. And He said, yeah, you've been up and you've been down, but get what? Just go along for the ride because it's a blast. People have come from all over the world to get the kind of joy that you can get just 30 minutes from here. Come on, church. We are about to experience some powerful joy in God that you can't even pay for. So you just better buckle up and get ready, get ready, get ready. Some famous preacher once said. Acts 28, verse 3. Interestingly, what happened at this city of refuge or place of refuge? The Bible said that when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened to his hand. Now, interestingly, what happened is the natives saw all of those that had been saved from the ocean and built a fire because they were cold. Verse 2 says they were saved, but the cold rain was still falling. Somebody needs to write that down. You say, well, Pastor, I think I'm out of the storm, but I'm still getting wet. I'm still feeling the effects. It's all right. The cold rain might be falling, but there's something you need to do. Not only will you find a refuge, not only will you be in an uncommon place, not only will you reach a place where God is going to bring you that you've never been before, but God is going to have to rekindle your fire. Somebody needs to light their fire again. Oh, no, no, you didn't really hear me. You just gave me the church amen. You just gave me the, oh, yeah, the courtesy Sunday morning amen. No, no, you didn't hear me, because what I'm really talking about is there's a fire in the people of God that is burning dim and is about to go out, and it's time for us in this uncommon place to rekindle the fire and the flame of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what Paul did. Paul said, let me add to this. And so he went getting some wood. And he said, you know what? I need to add to this rekindling of my spirit. I need to add to this. And as he attempted to rekindle the fire, what happened? A viper attached to his hand. Now the natives all saw that and went, aha! This man must be a murderer. Past tense. This man must have murdered someone. Get that in your mind. The natives gave testimony that, okay, Roger, I'm going to use you. Roger murdered somebody. That's why he has a viper on his hand. Anytime, caution, hear me. Anytime you attempt to rekindle the fire and flame of the Holy Spirit in your life, the enemy will always bring up your past. You say, well, Paul never killed nobody. Maybe not directly, but he was empowered to chase down Christians everywhere and lock them up and execute them. And the Bible says he stood by those who stoned Stephen, holding their coats and saying, go for it. Now he's in a place that's uncommon. Now he's in a place that he's never been before. Now he's in a refuge, came through the storm. God wants to use him mightily. He's rekindling the fire of God in his belly, and all of a sudden his past latches on to him. You follow what I'm saying? Anytime you try to make a move toward God, anytime you try to rekindle the fire of God, there's going to be some attempt by the enemy to remind you of your past that tells you you're not qualified for the fire. But I like what Paul did. Oh, yes, I do. Come on, say it. He likes what Paul did. Come on, tell somebody. Say, Pastor likes what Paul did. Yeah, I do. You know what he did? He took the viper and he shook it off. But where did he shake it off? He shook it off in the fire, in the flame, in the fire that he was contributing to. He took the past. He took the accusation. He took the indictment and he shook it off in the fire that he built. The reason why a lot of us live under guilt and condemnation is because you got no fire. You've got to shake it off in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the flame. You've got to stir up the gift of God that is within you. That's what Paul told young Timothy. He knew what he was talking about. He said, I know what's going to take care of all that insecurity. I know what's going to take care of all that depression. I know what's going to take care of all that despondency. You need to stir up that gift of God that was given to you through on the laying on of hands. You need to fire once again your belly up with the Holy Ghost, fire of God, because it will remove every accusation and every offense to the progress of the kingdom of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, if you can put it up, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Did you know Timothy, many theologians say, he struggled with depression. He struggled with self-worth. He struggled with rejection. He struggled with these spirits against him of disqualification. And Paul said, you stir up that gift, boy. You get that fire burning and you shake those things off in the middle of the fire. Rekindle. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, David, the great leader, he came back to Ziklag after running a riotous attack against the enemy and only came home to find what? His camp had been destroyed. The enemy came in and did what? Stole his spoil. What else? Stole his wives and his children. Some of you are experiencing great loss. You've lost jobs. You've lost friends. You've lost confidence. Hear me now. But you're on the other side of the storm. God has a refuge for you. God has a place that's uncommon that you've never been before. God has the opportunity given to you and me to light up a fire and shake off every condemnation, shake off every that reason why we don't believe we can move with the things of God. Shake it off in that fire. But like David, everybody around him disqualified him. You know, it's one thing to disqualify yourself. All right, I live with that. But then when you get in my business. Now see, you don't know what I'm talking about. But everybody got to tell everybody else what's going on in your life. Did you hear? Did you hear what's happening over there? That's what happened to David. Everybody at Ziklag, they're going, David, you bum. You're worthless. You've ruined everything. Why, we ought to stone you. Do you feel me? Do you understand what I'm talking about? David was at the brink of judgment by his peers. They had decided he wasn't going to move forward. But this is where I love this part of the story. Because it ain't over till it's over. And David somehow went down in his boot someplace. I don't know where he got them straps from, but the Bible said he kind of had to stir himself up in the Lord. You know, some of you got to get in your bathroom, just shut the door and just sing and praise God and say, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like this is the day that the Lord has. I don't care what you do and what you sing and what you say, but somebody needs to get into a place where you stir yourself up in the Lord so that the presence of God becomes bigger than the voices of those who are judging against you. Do you hear what I'm saying? And David heard from God, and God said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Hey, that works. You all be the pursue group. Say pursue. Okay, you two are the overtake. Ready?
Overtake.
And you, well, that wasn't even as loud as the pursue people. You got double the people. Right. And recover all. Okay, so I see they're recovering over there. But you and I have got to get this into our heart. We need to begin to tell each other. We need to admonish one another. We need to find some people. We need to hang out with some people around the fire that aren't condemning us, that aren't beginning to judge us, that aren't writing us off. Don't write me off. Don't write me off. Don't retire me. Don't send me out to pasture, whatever. I'm not leaving. I'm not going. Understand something. I got a word from God in the middle of my being stirred up, and this is what he said. Come on now. That's what he said. You got to rekindle the fire. And then lastly, you don't even want to hear this last one. This last one is like off the hook. I am so serious. This one will make me run over a troop and leap over a wall. I'm feeling like I want to run right down the middle of the seats. No, don't make me do it. No, don't ask me to do it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. Lord have mercy. No, don't. No, I ain't doing it. Man, Acts 28. Y'all are crazy. Acts 28. Look at Acts 28, verse 8. You got to read this with me. Come on, let's read it together. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Stop right there, because let me help you with this dude's name. Publius. Publius. You know what his name meant? It means the first father. The first father. So Publius is the first father. Okay, now let's read it. Instead of saying his name, say the first father. Are you ready? Or the first man. Actually, it's the first man. Let's say it that way. Ready? And it happened that the father of the first man lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. Look at verse 9. Come on, let's read it. So when this was done, the rest of the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Now it's interesting what God did. God gave Paul the first man. And when the first man got his miracle, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and all the others who had sicknesses and diseases came running in a line, and the Bible said all of them got healed. How many know that Malta experienced a revival that day because Paul understood there's life after the storm? And God was going to take him into a place of his choosing, a place that was uncommon, a place he had never been before, a place where he knew that God still had a future and a hope for him. And I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to me. And it didn't matter what anybody else said about how you've lived your life or pointed to your past. You just took that fire that you stirred yourself up in, and you shake off the accusations, condemnation, and all of the sins of the past. And we thank God that even now God is setting up a first miracle, a first man, a first experience. This is only the beginning. I liked what I heard this morning that said we kind together scrounged up $800 so we could take Jeremiah to Haiti. That was the first man. You see, that was the first man. And so when he got to Haiti, God started bringing other visions into him. They didn't know that. God said, I just want you to get him there. If you'll just get him there, I'll put something in him when you get him there. All you got to do is do the first thing. I'll do the rest of the thing. Do you hear what I'm talking about? So let me tell you, in the last 4 minutes that I've got, God's wanting you just to do the first thing. And if you'll just do the first thing, it's going to open up the kingdom of God to an entire region. I believe Northeastern Ohio is in the right place for a supernatural Holy Ghost gully washing power of God revival like we've never seen before. If you believe that, I wish you'd just shout this Sunday morning and clap your hands and give God some praise in this place. Now let me give you a word there, Jeremiah Burris. Let me give you a word, okay? This is just a little word, but I'm giving it to you. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. I've got 3 minutes. Don't get nervous. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed. Now, I want you to read the rest of it. Everybody, please engage me. Okay? Everybody, it's important that you read this. Are you ready? Read it. They provided such things as were necessary. Okay. You go through the storm. You get to an uncommon place, a place you've never been before, a place where you've got to rekindle your spirit, a place where you'll shake off the past condemnation and every reason why you don't believe you deserve to do great things for God. And then even when those are accusing you falsely and have already judged you and defined you in a certain manner, you just ignore it, stir yourself up, and you pursue, overtake, and recover all. And then in the midst of that, God opens up a first experience and he begins lining up miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Whether it's a whole floor of kids that need to be healed or it's a little boy with an infection in his leg that if he doesn't get help, he's going to die. Or if it's a hungry people in a village where we needed more bread so we could feed them, it doesn't matter because they're going to keep coming. Do you follow me? They're just going to keep coming. They're going to line up and they're going to keep coming. But here is the key. They provided such things as were necessary, and this is God's word to you and me this morning. Are you ready?
Yes.
Even after great loss, God has already arranged for new sources of great provision. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. It doesn't matter how much your savings have gone down to nothing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they've given you a pink slip. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've just been laid off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people that were helping you and supporting you have walked away. It doesn't matter. Why? Because God has a Malta. God has a place for you and me. All I've got to do is get me some wood. All I've got to do is build that fire. All I've got to do is shake off my past. All I've got to do is let God allow me to go through the first and into the rest of the miraculous that God wants to do. I got a testimony I'm going to hear just in a few minutes in the other location of a woman who came to me. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about chronic fatigue. Do you remember that day? Holy Ghost interrupted and said, those with chronic fatigue, did anybody get touched from that during this service? Did you get some of that? Anybody else? Just kind of wave your hand. All right. There was a bunch of people. Amen. And in the East. And one woman said, Pastor, I got to tell you, I've been on medication prescriptions for 10 years. And I wanted to get off, and I couldn't. But I took that word, and I stopped taking them, and I went into withdrawal. It's like an addict, shakes and sweats and pain.
Yes.
She said, I wasn't going to come to church, but yes, I came to church anyway, and yes, I got a word from God. And she said, I want you to know that day, that afternoon, all the withdrawal symptoms left me. And she said, I've been totally set free and totally healed of 10 years of prescription medication. Let me tell you, they're just going to keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on coming. And those that couldn't find two nickels to rub together to buy their next fix are going to be the very people who are going to bless you and bless the house of God with much needed provision. The provision of God is coming from very unusual places. Now let me just pray for you this morning. You say, well, I would have liked Jesus' robe. I'm not belittling that. There are people walking around saying, this is Jesus' robe. That's fine. You want his robe? Have his robe. I would have liked to have Jesus' mother. You want his mother? Take his mama. I would have liked to have maybe some of the other things. The thing that you can have this morning that passes all understanding is the peace of God. You cannot have the peace of God if you've not made peace with God. And God will take you just as you are. I wish I'd have wrote that song. Without one plea. Jesus will take you just as you are. Storm battered, soaked, tattered, confused, angry, wondering what's happening, God will take you just as you are. We offer you today the peace of God. Ladies and gentlemen, wholeness comes from Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Jesus was hanging on the cross and he said, John, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. Jesus reconciles us with one another. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus forgives us of all of our sin and wrong. But the greatest thing Jesus did on that cross was make a pathway for you and me to heaven that you can walk and you can traverse this morning and receive eternal life. If you would, with your heads bowed, envision with me a great cavern, a great divide, and the cross erected towards heaven. And when they took Jesus down, in that great earthquake, that cross fell backwards, crossing the divide, creating an avenue, creating a bridge where you and I now could cross that canyon of separation called sin and be reunited with our Father. Hallelujah. Peace with God. You say, Pastor, I need Jesus this morning. I want him. I need him today. I need to ask him to save me. My, don't leave this room if that's you today and you're not certain whether you'd go to heaven or if you were to die today. You say, Pastor, would you pray? I just want prayer this morning. I need that prayer. If that's you, just hold your hand up high enough for me to see it, please. Just do that. Thank you. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. If I could, I'd run out there and hug every one of you. You can put your hand down. If you didn't raise it up and you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I need God more than I've ever needed him before. I need Jesus. Hold your hand up if you haven't already done it. Thank you. Thank you. I'd give you a big hug. Thank you. Thank you over there. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God sees you and your heart and your hand. He sees your life. One last time. And I've got to turn this ministry over to Pastor Troy. and I've got to go to another service, but I'm going to ask you, if you didn't raise your hand and you don't know for certain, you don't know that you're ready to meet God and you want to meet Him, you want to know Him even after the storm in your life, maybe you're going through the storm of your life, but you believe after today's message that there's hope for tomorrow, and you say, would you just pray for me, Pastor? If you already raised it, don't do it again. But if you didn't, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to be a man. I'm going to ask you to be a woman. Take a courageous step before God and say, yes, I want God in my life. Are you ready? One, two, three. Hold it up if you haven't already done it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Four more hands gone up. I think that's probably about 10 or 12. But right now, I want you to look up. I want you to get up. I want you to clap your hands. Come on, stand up. And I want you to thank God for what He's doing in your life. And Pastor Troy will close the service. God bless you guys.
As quickly as possible, I can get all the altar ministers to come forward. And if you raised your hand, I need you to move out of your seat also and come forward. Everybody just move forward. Raise your hand. Don't, please don't go that way yet. Please don't do that yet. That's just rude. Please don't do that. All the altar ministers forward. That's okay. Just be rude. And all the altar ministers, and if you raise your hand, please come forward. I just want to share something with you. As you're all coming forward, I had this thing happen to me while I was in Haiti. I don't know. I go there, and God, it's just clear. You know, it's like, you know those AM stations that come in real clear when you get to a certain... It seems like when I get to that geographical location there in Haiti, things get real crystal clear. And I'm sitting there, and we had found this little boy. He had an infection. He'd been at the village for a while, and we were taking him to the hospital. And it had been raining. It had been raining. And to get to the bend, and there's this point where you come out of the road of destiny, and many of you have seen that. I posted this road called destiny. As we get out of there, you turn left real hard, and as you're turning left, there's a river on your right. There's a river that runs down there, and you got to cross a bridge to get to the other side. We get to that turn. It had been raining, and suddenly it was a flash flood, like a violent flash flood, so violent, like it was like frightening. I backed the truck up and was like, "We're not going anywhere for a minute. Let's just sit here." And you know, and in that moment, I heard God say this: "Prepare the way. Prepare the way." And years ago, when I'd go to Haiti, they didn't have any storm drainage system built. But since the earthquake, they built these storm drainage systems on the side of the road. And if you've gone there, you've seen them. And since the earthquake, all along the sides of the road, they've built these sanitation out of bricks and concrete. And what they were doing is they were preparing the way for that which was about to show up. Before that moment, when it would rain, it would wash everything into the ocean. There would be mudslides and everything would get washed out into the ocean. But what they thought was, look, if we could channel what's coming, we can create such a violent force. And where we're located is down at the bottom of it. We're down at the bottom, right near the ocean, where the water comes out of it and it pours into the ocean. So the force of what's coming down the mountain is so violent that if you were to get in the way of it, it would sweep you away. And I just heard God say as we were closing that what we all need to do is to prepare the way. We need to prepare the way for what's coming. There's a mighty, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear it coming. Do you hear it coming in the spirit? Do you sense it? Do you feel it coming? I feel it coming. I feel such a violent revival in the spirit on the horizon. Not just church revival where we dance around and we fall down. No, no. The kind of revival where like it happens in your house. It happens in your house where your cousin was diagnosed with cancer, and it happens in your house. It's so violent that if you get in the way of it, it will sweep you into the ocean and you'll be forever lost in the deluge called Christ. There is a deluge called Christ coming. It's up on the mountain now. It's raining up on the mountain. And all we need to do is channel what's about to get here. And how do you do that? You send yourself up into the mountain and you begin to create a way. And the way that you channel this into your life is the cross. It's the cross. You live every day with your life under the shadow of the cross, and you create a channel where when the rains begin to fall, suddenly down at the bottom, it's so violent that it washes away everything. Let's pray. Father, we pray right now. We prepare the way for the coming of the Savior in our lives. We prepare it this morning for our lives individually, personally. We realize as we prepare the way personally for your arrival, that it will come with such a mighty rushing river that it will wash away all that hinders. Thank you, Lord, that this affects the whole nation. It affects the whole region. It affects our families. It affects our community. It affects our school systems. It affects everything in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those that have made the decisions this morning to prepare the way of the Lord for the first time. And thank you for those of us this morning who have made a decision in this moment to prepare the way of the Lord every day of our lives from this day forward. Even knowing you, we desire to know you more tomorrow, more in 5 minutes from now. We bless you. We love you. It's an honor to live for you because you died for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. If you raised your hand and gave your life to Jesus, please come forward. We want to pray for you.